This is CliffCentral.com.
Fear's a powerful thing. I mean, it's got a lot of firepower. If you can figure out a way to wrestle that fear, to push you from behind rather than stand in front of you, that's very powerful.
I have a dream.
Multiplying leadership. Moving society the millennial way.
You don't want to end up going after goals and dreams and neglect yourself.
People take it to the moon, take it to the stars. How many people you know can take it this far?
Welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform with your host, Bongani Tau.
I brought more soldiers than you did.
Youth Leadership Platform.
Dope Boys of the Year, we in the house. It's the Youth Leadership Platform with your host, Bongani Tau, at Simply Bongani across all social media platforms. It feels good to be back in studio. And today we are doing, or reflecting rather, on what was rather a very, very busy week. Everyone from the designers to the organizers to the PR people to the TV people and some of us who are in the broadcasting and media industry, all of us are just damn tired. But we're out here doing the most. We are talking Afro Couture, and I have fresh faces of South African fashion to discuss where South African fashion is and where it should be, where we're going, how we're getting there, and some of their influences as well as getting to know them. Without any further ado, I would like to intro my two guests in studio today, and that would be Sibusiso and Neo. Welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome. So now we're going to try that, but I'm going to ask you to speak slightly louder and then closer to the mic. Awesome. So Sbuda, we'll start with you. You were one of the opening shows at AFI Fashion Week, which we just witnessed during this past week. What were some of the highlights that you have showing?
I think my biggest highlights was just the fact that I showcased at AFI Fashion Week.
Sure.
I started off as an intern. I used to work backstage as a dresser.
What?
I'm telling you. So, like, it was just a dream at first. Like, after, obviously, lights off, and I was like, oh, I want to go into the fashion industry. Then me being able to intern backstage and actually having my own show this year was just amazing. That's, like, the biggest
the
highlight.
The transition, Jay, was just
it's amazing.
Amazing,
yeah.
Ne?
Yeah.
Interesting. Neo, your highlights?
Well, same. Opening Fashion Week is like kind of crazy. It's the trust that they have for us to like open Fashion Week is kind of crazy.
Sure.
But I also have the same story where I was part of the AFI like competition as a kid, and now like a few years later, and I have my own sort of slot. It's like it's incredible. It makes me happy.
Mm. Let's get to know you. We like to play a bit of YLP trivia, and it's sound, taste and smell. I'm getting into your past, right? So Sbuda, we'll start with you.
Okay.
What does your past smell like?
Sour.
Smell.
Lavender.
Lavender?
Yeah.
Okay. Take us through that. Why lavender?
I would say because
the spray used in the toilet.
Yeah. Because lavender covers up a lot. Coming from a background, you know, when you use the toilet, you obviously use lavender. But the aim of lavender was to create a sweet smell.
Okay.
But you know, you're actually covering a bad smell.
Sure,
so
sure,
I think that's
sure.
kind of like my past.
What does it taste like?
Oof, avocado.
Avocado?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have a lot of those? Did you have a connect in Venda? Because I know people from Venda, like avocado supply is just...
Actually, my brother-in-law is from Venda.
Oh, okay.
My father is in love with avocado.
Look at me, I'm ahead of you.
But I'm not a huge fan of avocado. I just I like it with certain meals.
Okay.
But not all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think with green salad and they just dice it up nicely. Yeah, for me, it works.
Yeah, they cover it up.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Neo, what does your pass smell like?
Scones. Scones. My gran used to like bake scones at like 2 a.m. Like she used to like bake scones.
Was it like therapeutic for her?
No, she yes, I'm sure it was therapeutic.
Okay.
But she used to sell scones for funerals and stuff like that. So people used to call at like 8 p.m. and be like, I need scones tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
So
that's how good she would, like, that's her how scones taste.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. So interesting.
That's exactly like that. That's maybe where I get the hard work from. 2 a.m.
Interesting.
Scones.
Interesting. What does it sound like?
Opera music. Like not opera music, but her singing. From like church music, but she had like the best, biggest voice. So like she'd sing everything. So,
sure.
Yeah.
And what does it smell like?
It would smell like.
Sorry, it smells like scones, right? What does it taste like?
Yes. What does it taste like? It would taste like what's that cake with all the fruits inside? Fruit cake.
Okay. Okay, fruit cake.
Yeah.
Subuda, you didn't tell me what it sounded like.
I didn't mention sound.
Sure.
Oh my God, like an annoying trap song.
An annoying trap song?
Yeah. Where it's catchy.
Okay.
But at the same time, it's annoying.
Like which song?
Oof.
Go ahead.
Something by Young Thug.
Okay.
I'm not really a huge fan of Young Thug.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So, where did you grow up, Spuda?
I grew up in Johannesburg, Hillbro. Moved all the way to Tembisa. But I feel like Joburg is where actually the whole fashion and passion started because I was exposed with different people from different backgrounds in Africa.
Sure.
So that whole mixed cultural influence around me kind of like helped me because I was able to learn different cultures from different people's backgrounds.
Not only
just South African, Nigerian, Zimbabwean, Malawian, Namibian.
Sure.
And that just kind of helped me.
What kind of influence did that have on you subsequently in living your life? You know, there's people that are homophobic, there's a lot of phobias that people get accustomed to because of the lack of exposure to certain things.
Yeah.
But now, having had that experience, you know, there's people that still call people who are not from the country, foreign nationals, Ngongongo or Amakwerekwere and things like that. Excuse me.
Yeah.
But what did that exposure do for you?
I feel like that exposure helped me understand that we as Africa are one.
Okay.
It made me understand that the next person is still a human being regardless of where they come from.
Sure.
And also helped me learn a few things about them and their background and how they grew up, you know.
Sure.
How they lived culturally, which obviously helped me with my upbringing as well. For example, the Malawian people, they're so humble. When you speak to them, they'll actually like bow down and, you know, certain characters that you take from them and understand that people are from different backgrounds, live different lives, different cultural backgrounds that you can actually learn from.
Sure.
That is also reflected into my collections as well, saying that as Africa, we've got about 1,200 and something billion people.
Sure.
If we were to be connected as one, mm-hmm. Africa would be such a powerful country.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm. Neo, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Vosloorus.
In Vosloo, East Rand.
East Rand.
Oh, okay. So not too far from where I grew up, because I'm from a place I'm not gonna name. But yes, it's about you today.
Yeah, I grew up in Vosloorus. Then I went to high school at NSA when I was like, what? Whenever you go to high school?
Sure.
And I was in boarding school, so like I really went through Joburg. I know Joburg very well.
Yeah. What are some of the early influences that you had from being in spaces like that? And when you're in Johannesburg, you know, there's a lot of kids in the East that didn't learn half of the things that you already knew at that point in your life because of being in that space, because they are isolated somewhere in a township.
I learned a lot. I was also at an art school, so we were opened to like thinking in a different way. I met so many amazing people. I met like people that are writers right now, like people that are singers and actors, and it's like you just a whole world of like information just through the people that you meet, and through, I didn't have like a lot of internet back then, but like just sharing stories and people sharing like their ideas, it was like an amazing experience.
Interesting. So gentlemen, what were your first influences in the fashion industry? Who introduced you to the fashion industry?
For me, internationally, Karl Lagerfeld at the age of 12.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I think I was just inspired by how he took fashion in his own hands. Mm. He's someone that's more than a designer. He's someone that's a visionary.
Okay.
He could go into any brand and bring a vision alive.
Sure.
He's hands-on on everything. He'd literally do a lookbook and take pictures himself.
Yeah.
He'd direct his own fashion film.
Sure.
He'll do an entire collection, and that was just one of my superheroes growing up. I want to be like Karl Lagerfeld.
Do you still share that sentiment in your life right now?
Definitely, okay. Definitely. Okay. Just want to be better than
German
you.
German Shepherd of fashion. Okay, Neo.
As I said, I went to NSA, so we used to have these like fashion shows. And Lebu, she's now a writer, she wrote a children's book. And I don't know if you know Desire from Faga.
They used
to host these amazing fashion shows. And that was the first time I thought to myself that I can actually create things and have them on the runway. And from that it grew. Obviously we learned about like the calls and the and marks and we've learned so much. But that was my first like real true experience of fashion. Like people wearing your clothes, your art really.
Interesting. And at this point in, let's say, university, were you already thinking about exploring a career within the fashion industry, or you had a different idea at this point?
I went to Lysoff, so I definitely knew I was going to do fashion.
Okay.
I didn't know what in fashion I'd do, but like I definitely thought that like clothes are what I want to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then fashion design... You were just in
there. Got caught. I actually just got caught. I didn't know what to do after school. So I entered this AFI fashion competition. And from there, I literally have been being pulled back. I don't know what I'd do, but like it's just like something that's... I've built a home there. So
yeah,
I think keeps calling me.
Interesting. Sbuda?
I think with me, something that I always knew, even before I went to fashion school, I think in 2014, I already started the brand, or rather the idea of the brand. The difference with me is that at home, no one was willing to pick me up to take me to school.
Of course.
So after like after matric, I was like, okay, I want to go study fashion design. And they're like, no, it doesn't make sense. Your brother's an aircraft engineer.
Yeah.
Do something that's more practical.
Sure.
So I had to go do business. After business, I had to find a part-time job, start working at a part-time job, and then take myself back to school to Lysoff and finally do what I want to do.
Wow.
Which was fashion, yeah.
The sacrifices we have to make for our dreams, right?
Definitely.
A lot of people look at the collection, they look at the lives of the people that they admire at a certain point in time, and they don't realize the backstory.
Yeah.
Quite interesting. So in South Africa, we have quite a variety of established and very artistic and great fashion designers who I feel are slept on and... I don't getting the international exposure that they deserve. For you, who are your top three individually? SA designers.
That's
I'm just gonna put you on the spot like that. Like I don't even care.
Young designers or like
It could be anyone from the
just SA
exactly
fashion.
Exactly.
Like my favorite designer is Marianne Fassler.
Okay.
And I feel like although she has she has a home in South African fashion, so I'm not sure she wants to be international. But Marianne Fassler should be like on New York, in New York, you know, somewhere like that. I have to say Rich Mnisi and Thabo Makuku.
Okay. Yeah.
Although
okay.
I think they're working very hard to get there anyway.
Yes.
But those are my three sort of like go to designers of like.
So give me one compelling reason for each of them.
For each of them.
Yeah, why you look up to them so much or you like them so much.
Marianne Fassler has been doing this for years and years and years. When you go to her studio, there's a team. And just being able to handle one person is hard work. She has a whole team of people that like believe in what she does. And that's incredible. To be able to have an idea and share it and have it come out the way you believe it should come out.
Sure.
Is like that's work that takes years, and I think that she's ready, you know. above and beyond. I think Rich Mnisi already designs for the world.
Yeah.
He already is like creating for the woman and the man of the world. Mm-hmm. His ideas, his business ethics, and all of that. He's a worldly designer. He should be, you know, he should be recognized all over the place.
Interesting.
Tebe Makuku is like an incredible, incredible pattern maker and designer. Like, I trust him with like even my sort of like stuff. Like when I don't know, I know something or understand something, I know that I can go to him. He's going to give me, you know, an idea.
Sure.
At least like a solution, a way forward. So I think like those three people for me. And but there's so many others. Jeez, as I'm talking, I'm like,
wow. That person and that person and exactly. The other person.
There's just so many. I think South Africa in general is ready to be international.
Let's broaden it to five each then. You can add two.
La Duma.
Okay.
No. La Duma is already international, so I'm not taking it back, but I want to say Lucanio.
Okay.
Lucanio and Nicholas Kutz.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why them?
Why them? This question is like hard. You keep like building on it.
No, but I mean, if you're gonna look at a particular designer and you're gonna admire them or you're gonna look up to them or you're gonna like them, already arriving at that conclusion, there's certain things that need to fall into place before you conclude that you like them, or you admire
those
them.
Those are the people.
Exactly.
I think Nicholas Kutz, he makes fabric himself, so
sheesh,
you know, he's like, South Africa has a textile sort of like problem where, you know, we're all using the same fabrics. Oh, okay. We're all going to the same shops.
Sure.
But he's found a way to broaden that and like build on what we already have, which is incredible. Lucanio is also just an incredible designer. He's like an artist.
Sure.
He thinks for himself. He doesn't like follow any like fashion weeks or any sort of system. He thinks for himself. And I think that's something everybody should be doing, where you think to yourself, what do I want out of the world, out of fashion?
Sure.
And he goes for that. And sure. I think that's a way of thinking that I admire completely.
Interesting. Sbuda. The bar has been set, and he probably took some of the designers that you like and admire, but the list is still five, man.
Can I still mention some of the same ones I didn't mention?
No, because you see, the thing is, what I want to get out of this, or my objective is for us to actually think about how much emphasis do we place on the local designers. So how many designers do we know? How many designers do we really follow here? And I mean, if there's a lot, then we shouldn't even run out of names or people that we really like at home. Because following that, I'm going to tell you about an interesting conversation I had with a Brit yesterday.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to mention brands that I feel like, okay, let me start by saying this. There's a lot of great brands in South Africa.
Sure.
Right? But there's really a few brands that actually communicate with my soul directly.
Okay.
But not to say that the clothing is not
as,
do you know what I'm trying to
say? Sure.
Because I sometimes look into more than just the clothing itself. The first brand I'd go for is Sharia Ngoa.
Okay.
Sharia Ngoa was showcasing at Joburg Fashion Week this week as well.
Sure.
He makes menswear suits. The one thing I love about him is I've had several conversations with him, and Sharia Goa is he's a visionary. His brand is not just the clothing that he has there, but it's all about the message he's trying to send to the people.
Interesting.
He feels as though, as much as he's a designer, he's an artist, and with each and every collection, there's a story that he wants to tell the people, maybe something he wants to educate them. So it's like him giving back through his art.
Sure.
I really love that about him.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Number two would be David Lally.
Okay.
I respect David Lally's consistency. It's amazing. He's been in the industry for the longest of time. I think he just recently showcased 100 looks, over 100
just yesterday,
looks.
Yes.
Yeah, at AFI Fashion Week, which is something phenomenal.
Mm.
That's something I would definitely love to do, and I aspire to do as well. I mean, showcasing at 100, over 100 looks.
Yeah, it's
easy.
A lot of work.
I'm a designer, instead. It's really not
it's
easy.
A lot
and I would
of work.
Have to give the respect to him for that. And also, the channels is open for us internationally as well,
as
a designer, to say that, okay, back home in South Africa, there is talent.
Yeah, look at me, and it will give you a glimpse of what to expect. Interesting.
Yeah.
Sheria Goa, David Klale, yes.
Also, I'd have to speak on Matrosa as well. I know he spoke of Matrosa, but there's a certain element that I love as well.
He pulled back on Matrosa, so it's chilled. Yeah.
The one element I love about Matrosa was him being able to tell our cultural story to the world.
Okay.
I feel like he put the Xhosa culture on the map. He made something that most designers really haven't done, like going through our history and roots and creating that pattern and making it high-end luxury fashion.
Sure.
And selling it to the world, and the world saying, wow, this is beautiful.
Mm.
You know, this is basically us sharing a piece of our culture to the world. And I feel like I respect him for that as well.
Okay. Fourth and fifth.
Can you not stop at four?
There's plenty. If I think about how many designers showcased just this past weekend.
There's definitely a lot. The other brands that I have are not really like even popular.
It's fine. But you look up to them. You like them. That's what we want to get to.
There's a streetwear brand that's not really, I don't think it's actually famous that much. Called Puppy Shampoos by Mikal Underrated.
Interesting.
I feel like that streetwear brand has got so much potential to become one of the biggest streetwear brands in South Africa.
Okay.
Reason being, it's dedicated to streetwear in South Africa.
So and how now let's make a distinction.
Yeah.
How does that? Why are you specifically placing an emphasis on that? Because I like the fact that you realize that streetwear is not streetwear. It's not the same thing everywhere you go in the world.
Definitely.
You know? So carry on that point.
Emphasizing on streetwear in South Africa is because I feel like most of our youth get lost in the Western culture.
Sure.
If you look at streetwear in London, the style in streetwear in London and streetwear in New York is completely two different things.
Correct.
That's because the areas are different.
Correct.
The culture is different, right? In South Africa, we kind of like just ping-ponging according to what celebrities
everything
are wearing, you know?
From everywhere.
And we don't really have our own signature to say that this is Johannesburg street style, this
sure
is South African street
sure
style. And when we look back into our culture from you look back to Isibhujwa, I feel like that was our street culture. We used to formulate something that was real, that we used to love, Elokshini,
sure,
you know, the
Burbs
used to copy it from us as
sure
well, you
sure
know. But then as designers, I feel like there's a few streetwear designers that are actually tapping into that and creating a street culture that's entirely South African.
Power.
Yeah.
Okay, your fifth one?
Me.
Yes. Oh, yourself. Okay. We're listening.
Me, because as much as I've mentioned all these different elements about all these different designers, I feel like I want to fuse all those elements because those elements also define my brand in a way.
Sure.
And number one, I want my brand to have a voice within the community, and
sure
I want my brand to be able to educate the people as well about a lot of things.
Sure.
So if I do a collection, maybe next year it could be about politics.
Yes.
But in a more fashionable manner. Or fuse it with street style, but something that's more expansive, let's put you like what I'm trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And because of my background as well, obviously fuse different cultural backgrounds. So like Matkosa did Xhosa, right?
Sure.
I want to do Zulu, Xhosa, Swahili, Chichewa, Namibian. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Sure.
I want to let every collection basically speak about something in Africa.
Mm.
That's not just one, you know,
particular
yeah
culture.
Yeah. So I feel like not talking about me as in I'm the brand, but talking about the brand itself as the brand Mahoney.
And the vision
behind
sure
the brand. I
sure
feel like I'm excited to see what that's gonna happen.
What kind of preparation went to the actual collections that we ended up seeing at AFI this past week? From both of you. We'll start with Swuda.
A lot, hey?
Yes.
Can I be honest with you? An email was sent to me, but it didn't get on time, so I was actually kind of like informed late about the showcase, so which actually put a lot of pressure on me. I had lots of sleepless nights, sourcing every day.
What was your thought processing? What did you want to... What were you thinking about? What did you want to get across to the people?
Awakening. I felt like this collection was... I felt like the vision came together.
Okay.
the entire vision for the brand came together, and I felt like this collection was that opening collection to say, this is Mahone and this is what Mahone is here to say within the industry. I remember when we spoke earlier on, you were talking about very minimalistic contemporary wear.
Sure.
And that's how I started it off. I'm starting off the brand as, okay, we're painting a blank picture, minimalistic, but now we want to add to it several things.
Sure.
Most of the offcuts fabric that I was using were Haysen, and Haysen was a fabric that was used in the slavery days in Africa.
Wow.
Because
okay.
Black Africans couldn't afford cotton because sure. they were obviously slaves.
Yes.
So what they would do is they would get that Haysen fabric and just chop it up into pieces just so they could cover themselves.
Wow.
You know, so adding that into modern day contemporary wear.
Sure, sure.
You
it's
know,
it's sort of a social commentary on
definitely.
Social injustices to...
Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So I felt like I just wanted to start it off like that on a plain background, on a plain white paper to say, this is what we are about to do. So I called it The Awakening, but I actually didn't name it out to the social media as The Awakening of Mahone.
Build on that. I'd like to hear more. So it's Awakening. It's the beginning of you creating a contemporary street wear brand that yeah. speaks to the multifaceted Africa, and in a way that as well has a social contemporary side of it that speaks to the social injustices
yeah.
That have taken place within yeah. the African continent.
Beautifully said.
And still take yeah. place. I'm trying to process it as well.
Yeah.
So Awakening, that's the foreground.
Yeah.
So from here, now that you have the blank canvas, now yeah. that You've started on a minimalistic yeah. slate.
Yeah.
What can we expect from you?
I'm hosting my own independent show November.
This November?
End of November.
Okay.
So AFI, like I said, was the blank canvas.
Sure.
Getting the world to really understand what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like my own independent show would probably be more of a full understanding of what I'm trying to do.
Sure.
So
sure.
the concepts will be enlightened. I'm just not going to do normal ramp stage. Everything is very conceptual because I want it to be more of like a theatrical performance.
Interesting.
In fashion.
And then what why did you use? And I see you're wearing one of the pieces on you right now.
Yeah.
So why did you use camouflage to be?
Well, number one, the Haysen part is the part I was telling you about
yes.
that's on the camo.
Yes.
The camo kind of like represents war, army, fight. So it's, you know, I felt like it blended together, you know, the emotions that both fabrics actually have in
yes,
terms of when
yes.
you look into their storyline
sure,
or the background.
Sure,
yeah.
sure, sure, sure. You see, that's the thing. In everywhere else in the world,
yeah.
people take time to dig into their designers. They take time to hype up their designers, and they take time to invest in their designers. And that's why the creative economies in a lot of other countries, in from my observations and from what I've been reading, are thriving, right? Mm. And had I not had this conversation with you, I could have just looked at the collection. I was like, okay. Yeah. We see streetwear. Okay, cool. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
But there's obviously a story to it. So we'll move to Neo, whose name is, well, the brand name is NAO, right?
Yes.
Let's begin with your creative process. So you just got the memo from AFI. You're showcasing. What's going through your mind?
Well, generally, there's always a lot of things going through my mind. There's always like a show. There's always an idea going through my mind. I mean, I'm already thinking. I'm showing again at SA Menswear Week next year, which gives me some time, but it's like 4 months, which isn't that much time.
But
it's time. And I already have that concept. Well, I know what I want to talk about. But so I had already been thinking about what to talk about.
Okay.
And what I wanted to talk about this season was spirit. I think a lot of the time as like Africans, black people, we're afraid of going into like that lozy sort of conversation.
Mm. Yeah.
So,
sorry, just to stop you on the tracks. Did you see Sandile's collection for Mini last year? Not last year, this past season for SA Fashion Week. Because he used literally the cloth, but in any case... Yes, you were saying.
I didn't see
we,
that.
We're afraid to get into that aspect.
Yeah, I think we're afraid to like look at it. People were like, when I brought up that I wanted to use ancestral drums at the show, people were like, ooh, what if people's lozies like awaken at the show? Yeah. And like I was like, well, let them wake up. Because I think in Africa, we weren't writing things down and people, you know, globally have been saying that maybe we didn't have a culture, and I think we had a very big culture. We just told our stories differently.
Sure.
I don't think any of the things that we do were written down, but because we had our ancestors talking to us through dreams and all of that stuff. So yeah, but that's a very big concept. So I brought it down to like what I normally talk about, which is gender.
Yes.
In fashion. So the show was more looking at like when a male person has a female ancestor in them, or a female person has a, you know, so what do we call that? People always say gay doesn't exist in South Africa, or, you know, all these LGBTs don't exist in Africa.
Sure.
And I'm saying that we just don't have the words. We just don't have the conversation.
Hmm.
But all of these things exist.
Sure.
We just speak them differently. We don't speak English. Like, English isn't our mother tongue.
Sure.
So this show was basically me saying there's more. there's more to fashion. I mean, and then the show itself, I started it in color, and that was representing sort of what you see, and then it went into the white, which is like the sort of the conversation about ancestors, where it's like they're there all the time, just because you don't like accept them or whatever. Well, you know, this is a conversation, so whether or not you accept them should be a conversation. It should be like a...
Yeah. And what are some of the elements that you deliberately incorporated into your collection to get or to infuse that conversation which we should have in person into the threads?
Well, I used a lot of like pleating. I thought about a lot about things moving, because I wanted to be more of a textured show. I wanted it to have like an actual feeling. I think a lot of the time I use a lot of plastic and it's cold.
Yeah.
So this season I wanted to go into like a more textured, a richer sort of world. But I have to stick to what I normally do, so there's always going to be glitter.
Sure.
It was more about the texture and the flowiness of just, you know, that sort of dream state.
Sure.
It was about going into that dream state and what you experience going in through that dream state. I didn't want to use actual Sangoma fabric, because I thought that would be too, it prescribes a thing for you. And when I was talking to Sangomas, a few, they were telling me that things come to you. Nothing's sort of like, there's no prescribed sort of thing. The beads that they wear are told to them. The fabrics that they choose and the colors that they choose are, you know, they come to them. They just have a natural. So I don't want to like prescribe that this is the conversation and this is the only way to have the conversation. I wanted to open it up and say, what is the conversation? I think like my brand really wants to have a conversation. I don't want to like say that this is the thing. If somebody wants to come to me and say these are my thoughts, then like let's have that conversation. Yeah.
So sort of like now processing it in my mind, a blank canvas with a title at the bottom, but how you want to see or what you want to see on the canvas will depend on the spirits.
Exactly. It should be, it's all about your conversation. It's about, people always ask me like, you know, why should people interact with my brand, and I'm saying that we're interacting to have a conversation. I'm not saying that the LGBT is right and it's the only way. I'm saying, why do you feel like it should, why do you feel like it's other? Yes. Why do you not feel like it's one
it's
thing?
Part of, it's part everything. Of,
you know?
Yes. Yeah. That is. Interesting. Let's talk a bit about I told you I had a conversation with a Brit yesterday, and he works for a very well established channel, obviously from Britain, and he was telling me about how the brands that we consume a lot here in South Africa, It is so because of the amount of money that and support that the government obviously pumps into the creative industry there, and how their publications are not interested in talking about us or talking about anything that we're doing. But you look at us and you look like South Africa now, meaning we have so much or so many of our conversations in and around and about them that even our people don't even know about our designers and obviously will not support our local designers. So how do we now start shifting the narrative and move away from feeding people a lot of westernized content, whether you are designing stuff that is reminiscent of French culture, which is going to make me think about the French and now consume French stuff, to the conversations that we have at a personal level? How do we change and shift the narrative?
Well, I think like South Africa went through this weird phase of Western life. I think after, I always like say that after Yizo Yizo, the show, we have nothing. Like after Abu Lebu passed away, yeah, and like Abu Brenda passed away, everybody was sort of into this Western world. And I don't think that, I personally don't think that infusing Western sort of culture into your art is bad. I don't think it's bad. I think we're global citizens. We're all sort of, we're all on the internet. But what the internet has done, it's removed Amapanzula and Amapucha, which were our culture, which were was our essence. And trying to find that again needs us just to communicate to each other again. I think it needs us to sort of listen to more South African music, more, have the actual conversations that we need to have. I don't think saying anything is wrong it will benefit us. I think that we're already here, you know, we're already here. So we need to sort of build on that and sort of look into ourselves and say, what am I actually interested in?
Yeah.
What are my like childhood smells and breath, you know? What does it mean? And I think that can only work as if our artists were South African. And I don't mean only South African. I think like it's like telling people not to read and telling people not to be on the internet. You should be mixing it. It should be like a balanced diet. It should be a balanced diet where you can walk into, there was that guy that made jeans and everybody was like, they're too expensive. But you're willing to go buy Gucci.
Exactly.
Like, and it should just be balanced. It should be that the person who's buying that Gucci, you know, the next month is buying that Tsepo and it's okay. It fits all into one outfit and that's it. And I think everybody needs to do it. Everybody needs to hold hands and just be like, we're all in it together.
Interesting. Spuda?
I feel like, you know when there was this whole 90% thing on music?
Sure.
When that was happening?
Yes.
I feel like we need that in everything that's African.
Yes.
Not just clothing, not just the music, but everything that's entirely African. Because I look at my niece. My niece is about 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She's still very young, doesn't really know much. But already from the information she's consuming, which is TV, radio, she's already influenced by the Western side of things. And that's something that even I, as an uncle, can't really control because she's influenced by that.
Yes.
As much as I try to teach her where we come from, you know, but she's influenced that by that. That's what she sees on a daily from the cartoons she watches, you know. So I feel like the system itself needs to have a shift. I used to work at Diesel, like I said, after I finished studying business. I started working at Diesel and I would realize that you'd get clients, South African clients, that would come into the store and spend literally their last money on a pair of jeans that cost 6,000 rand. And I'd always be fascinated by that and be like, but then why are you spending so much money on this jean?
I mean, you could go to Mahone, you could find literally quite a number of garments that you could buy and put up different looks and go to Neo and go to other different South African designers. Definitely. And find so much more, get definitely more value for your money.
Definitely. And I love that, more value for your money. And the most funniest thing was that as much as people would say the quality, it was never really about the quality, it was more about the name. And then you ask yourself, okay, then what about the name? You know, like, yeah. Who sold us the name?
Yes.
You know, and I feel like that's where the problem is. We're in society as well, in South Africa, I feel like if I'm wearing a diesel jean, I'm much better than this guy here.
The mentality, our mentality is flawed.
Do you know what I'm trying to yes. say? And I feel like if we invest more in our creatives in South Africa, our design creatives, we could probably be able to change that state of mind.
Sure, sure.
You know, so it's something that the government needs to really put into. I'm gonna say this out loud. I feel like the arts and culture is not really doing as much as they could do for design creatives in South Africa.
Sure.
So much talent that I see on a daily. My interns for this specific fashion week, what I did is I opened up a platform for interns, but I didn't want interns from Lysol or interns that already have a platform. Actually, yes. I wanted interns from like Alexandra Soweto, Tembisa,
who'd never get an opportunity like that. Yeah.
And my idea was to actually say, there is talented people, you know, that we're not exposing to the big platform, to the big world.
Mm.
And even if we do expose them to them, what are our people saying in terms of supporting them? Because at the end of the day, we need to leave. You know, at 35, I need to also have a huge house, you know, wife, kids, and, you know. But I need people to support me.
And, you know, when you look at South African consumerism and how it's set up, It's very, it's still colonized. It still needs to be transformed, because luxury here is defined on the culture of the West.
True.
So it's better for me to spend 30K on a trench coat from that other brand, because their whole culture and heritage about the trench coat justifies me spending 30K on their trench. But if we are not having enough conversations about how we can define African luxury and start consuming African luxury after defining it and then exporting African luxury, I think Ulatuma is one of those people who it's based in our culture, you know, whatever he designs comes from something that is truly African. So how would you, both of you individually, define Afro-couture? I think I'm putting you on the spot a lot.
Yeah,
today.
You're making.
And I have to.
I would, like, I wanna. I don't want what he said before I answer that.
Okay.
Where he said that he doesn't see anything wrong in adding Western inspiration into modern clothing.
Sure.
So I wanna clarify this part very well. Western designers, Italian designers, gain inspiration from Africa.
Yes.
And create their own collections that become...
Sometimes they even appropriate, yes.
You know, that become haute couture or high-end luxury fashion, that side, right? So it's not even about the crossbreeding between, you know... Okay, now going back to Afro couture. I feel like Afro couture is basically having our identity in every collection that we make. And our
identity, what would that mean in this context?
Our identity meaning African identity.
Okay. Is the African identity?
I mean, I think our African identity is the stories we have.
Okay.
I feel like those are very powerful. Okay. Like what he's talking about, the Sangoma issue, I feel
sure.
If you go to the westernized country,
they will never understand.
They'll never
ours.
Understand it. It's ours, but it's a beautiful story to tell.
Sure.
And I feel like someone within Italy would actually find that very fascinating to listen to, you know. So I feel like more of our stories is what we need. If Laduma with the Xhosa culture did it, and I feel like if more designers could actually look into that and say, okay, cool, let's do it, instead of designers that just go to Pinterest, look at a look and then try and mimic exactly the same look, because
that's true,
you
yeah.
know
sure,
yeah I
sure.
mean yes, you can add patterns that are westernized, but what message are you sending out to the people?
Sure.
I feel like that's what really matters, you know. If our voice is big enough, even if, like you said in the piece, that publishers don't want to write about us, if our voice is big enough, they'll have no choice but to listen to
yes.
us.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I was actually Googling the other day, and I said, like, in Africa, we've got about 1,200 and something billion people. America has got about 900 something billion people. So Africa does have the numbers. If we all speak, the world will listen.
Mm.
The thing is, they need to speak.
You know? Neo?
Yeah, I agree completely with what he was saying. I also want to add that, like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with South African designers' clothing. I work as a stylist, just on my normal 9 to 5. And so I get to really like experience the Gucci's and the Valentino's and all of the designers, including South African designers. I make sure that like I work with South African designers as well. And there's absolutely nothing wrong on a quality level.
Mm-hmm.
I think where we make some mistakes is on a branding level, and not all of that is our fault, you know.
Let's talk about that. Yeah, interesting. Yes.
But like, if you look, like one of my designers that I added onto my 5 designer list was Rich Mnisi.
Okay.
Who's been incredible at building a brand. He's only been like around for what, if I've been around for 3 years, he's been here for 4 years type of thing.
Sure.
And he's built an incredible brand. He's built a brand that stands strong.
Mm.
Rich Mnisi doesn't need to be there for the Rich Mnisi brand to be alive, which for me is the meaning of brand.
Hmm.
It's a strong brand where your brand ethos lives without you.
Sure.
So I think South African designers need to, you know, work on branding, making sure, and also making sure that when I say this jacket is 2 million, this jacket is 2 million, you know, and it's quality.
Mm-hmm.
It can sit next to that Gucci and not like fall apart.
Yes.
And I think that will, but that said, then we need support after that.
Sure, exactly.
We need that, when Rich lady number one comes, that she buys it at 2 million, you know. I don't think I agree with you completely. The South African government has very little for us,
mm-hmm.
so I think that it's on us to sort of say what we want, and we want to be taken seriously, and we need to take ourselves seriously. I love that brand. I think his name is Tsepo Jeans or something.
Sure.
I love that he
Tsepo the jean maker.
Yeah. I love that he didn't back down from his jean being 2.5, because everybody has, like, if you can buy a Gucci for 15,000 wallet, you can buy my 2,500 rand pair of jeans.
And I'm using quality fabric.
Yes. Those jeans won't fall apart. You've seen them. They're quite good jeans. So I'll say that, like, it's work. We have what we don't realize is that our industry is actually very small.
Okay.
We actually have a lot of work to do.
Sure.
We have like tons and tons of work to do, and the one thing is for people to believe in us.
Mm.
For the people that do have money to actually support, like when you go to Nigeria, rich people wear their designers because they believe in their designers.
Mm-hmm.
And when they wear their designers, they don't sort of wear it underneath their Gucci. They wear it on top. This is my orange culture.
Mm.
You know, this is like, I'm slaying in this outfit. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Because of time, we're going to have to cut our conversation here. But hopefully we'll be able to continue with the conversation on other mediums, because there's so much ground that we need to cover, I think. But your parting words to designers or whoever really that you want to speak to right now?
I feel like adding on to just what we spoke about, right? My parting words to designers and the entire fashion industry is unity. As much as we face so many challenges that we speak of, I feel like the only way to overcome that is together in number. Because there's a lot of great designers, but there's too much segregation within the industry.
Mm.
So now how do we get across, and how do we make this point valid to the consumers if we ourselves as designers are not standing together?
Mm.
You know, that's to the designers. And also in terms of me and the brand, the whole idea of the independent fashion show is kind of like to create a movement.
Okay.
A fashion movement that's just not looked as something for the high luxury people. Because when I worked in Diesel, I'd realize the same people you see called
LSM,
they're the ones that are actually buying the 10,000 rand jeans. So who exactly are we marketing to? You know, can we not be able to build a bridge for those people to come and say, hey, this is what we have, this is what South Africa has to offer?
Instead of crossing the road from Alex, which you is know? A township, to the richest square mile to support locally. Yes.
I'd say that like we all need to support. It's really just building on what he said. We need to support each other. And for me, what that means is that if you're good at business, go be a business person in fashion or in art.
Definitely.
If you're good at pattern making, like not everybody should be a designer. Not everybody can be, you know, Beyonce.
And start a brand. And
exactly. Yes, yes. Exactly. Destiny's Child is a successful group because everybody knows their place. Everybody harmonizes. If Beyonce is leading, we are following Beyonce.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Sure, and sure. I think that's what we all need in the fashion industry, in the art industry. We just need to be like, we're at Cliff Central today. Like, this is what we're doing.
Awesome. Drop your social media handles quickly.
Instagram at Mahoneyza, which is at MAHONEZA. Twitter is at Mahoney_ZA. Yes. MAHONE_ZA.
Okay. Awesome.
And for me, you'll find me at Newa Serati, which is NAOSERATI. NAO, not N E. And that's for everything.
Thank you so much for coming to the show. It's at Simply Bongani across all social media platforms. This has been the Youth Leadership Platform on Cliff Central.
This is CliffCentral.com.